whole thing is going down now. That's it. The whole thing is going down. The earth, the system, the wild beast, the planet is going down. It's still going to stand, mind you. These judgments that we're reading about in the bowls, in the unveiling chapter 16, it's not destroying the earth. It's just wrecking the daylights out of it. The earth is not destroyed, remember, until after the 1,000 years has run its course. The earth is regenerated here in the millennium. A bombed out earth, an apocalyptic earth, will be regenerated. This is a picture of Israel who will be born again. It's a regeneration. It's taking the old and working with the old and making the old better. This is so consistent, remember, with Israel's calling. They are a nation born again. And this perfectly coincides with the earth being born again. The earth is born again, and at the same time, Israel is born again. Our truth is much more radical. The earth, you might say, is a reformation. I have a friend that's currently in Wittenberg, Germany, exploring the great sites of Luther, who was a reformer. He thought he could take the Catholic Church and work with it, make it better. I am not a reformer. I'm a revolutionary. Paul's message is not a message of reforming your old self. This is Israel's message. And it corresponds to this earth that is being reformed, not destroyed, but reformed, laid waste, and then made better. Our spiritual calling is comparable to the new earth. The new earth comes out of nothing again, because this earth is destroyed. Remember, 2 Peter, this earth is stored with fire. And after the millennium comes, then kaboom, it explodes with a booming noise. Peter is really undersells it there, I think. The opposite of hyperbole, the earth will vanish with a, I call it a booming noise. It's going to be a booming. It's going to be a boom. Yeah. You think? So our calling is so radical that the only thing that it can be compared to is a new earth. Paul says that the consummations of the eons have attained to us. That's either 1 Corinthians 10:11 or 2 Corinthians 10:11. The consummations of the eons have attained to us. We're a new creation, Paul calls us. Israel's not called a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5, we're called a new creation. The earth will become new. That's the picture of us. We're not reformed. We are have been crucified with Christ. We died with Christ. You're not going to remake this. It's done for. We consider it dead. And now we can live in newness of life beyond in spirituality, even Israel's expectation. And again, the only thing picturing this in the physical world is the new earth, not the earth we're talking about here. So I need to, you know, I can't help commenting as I go here, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I'm just going to read, and what my goal was to read this entire chapter. It's only 17 verses, then we're going to be on chapter 17, folks. We're moving along. But I can't seem to do it without commenting. So I'm just going to throw my comments in as I go. Whenever they occur to me, whatever occurs to me, I don't really think too far ahead. This is mainly spontaneous. I have no script here. Never do. And then we'll go into the details that A. Enoch brings out in his book. And I'm sure that will send me off into other comments. So we're going to get into depth upon depth, layer upon layer here. And then comes Babylon, chapter 17. We're going to talk about Babylon. Well, before chapter 17. Anyway, you'll see as it unfolds. And so will I. It's unfolding for me too here. The second pours out his bowl in the sea. Yeah, we talked about that. And the third pours out his bowl into the rivers. We talked about that. Oh, yeah. Calling God just and benign during this great destruction. Listen to verse 8. This is something here. And the fourth messenger pours out his bowl on the sun. And it was given to him to scorch mankind with fire. And men are scorched with the great heat. This is humanity, not just men, but women. Men and women. And they blaspheme the name of God, who has the jurisdiction over these calamities. And they do not repent to give glory to him. God is the one who has jurisdiction over the calamities. The messengers are just that, messengers. So I might rightly say at this juncture, don't shoot the messenger. The messenger is enacting the will of God. God determined that this should happen. God determined to turn up the sun, and he's going to turn up the sun. And if anybody thinks it's hot in South Florida in the summer, they have never experienced anything like this. Mankind will be scorched, literally scorched as with an iron by the sun. It's so bad that it's called fire, because the bowl is put on the sun, and we know that this can't be attributed to natural causes. Oh, it's a solar flare. We're having a bad case of sunspots. The sunspots are moving. There's a new spot over there. No, it's not that. It's that God is directly afflicting the sun, having a bowl poured on the sun. Good time to tell you, it's not a literal bowl. These are literal messengers. These are spiritual beings. John sees a bowl because a bowl is related to temple service. I will get into details on that. The bowls, only a bowl is big enough. I think that King James has translated this vial, opens up a vial. These are not vials like you would put an eyedropper into a vial and just administer drops of medicine. These are bowls poured, pouring of bowls, temple vessels, and we are, I remind you, still in the temple section of the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which ought to tell you that this is a religion, a religious affliction. It's a reflection upon religion, the religion of the wild beast. Remember, the wild beast not only wants fealty, but he wants worship. And God hates false worship. And speaking of false worship, listen to this. So, and humans are scorched with a great heat, and they blaspheme the name of God. Again, that shocked me the other day, as I told you. I can't believe that people are blaspheming the name of God. They're not repenting. They're not turning to God, because it's grace and benignity and love. And God is still acting with those things here, but he's hiding behind a front of severe judgments. Remember, anytime we see God afflicting, God judging, it's not his true nature. It subserves his love, and it even does it here. But his love isn't seen directly, is it? No. Okay. I got to admit that to you. So, humanity is being scorched with heat, and they blaspheme the name of God who has jurisdiction over these calamities, and they do not repent to give glory to him. And Christians read this stuff, and they try to water it down. They say how horrible. But who today is putting on the heat on humanity? Who today is putting on fire that's not sanctioned by God, that is not brought by God, that God does not have the jurisdiction over? God does not have jurisdiction over the false doctrine of eternal torment. And the difference between the heat here that's coming from a wildly turned up sun and the heat that the Christians try to tell us that God is going to bring upon sinners is the concept, if you can even think of the concept, you can't, of eternity. Eternity is a concept that humans have not been given to understand. We don't understand something that doesn't have a beginning or doesn't have an end. Okay, bring the heat, but don't tell me that God's going to apply it eternally. You have no verse for that. The word that has been translated eternal and everlasting in the common English translations is a bad translation. Many good translations, the DeBar translation, the Concordant Literal New Testament, Young's Literal New Testament, they have made this aeonian. It has to do with time. It has to do with time. All of God's disciplines and judgments have to do with time periods. And we clearly know here that this is the final 1,260 days, a specific number of days mentioned for God to finish. And he's not only even using that last 3.5 years or 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. It's 42 months. He's not even using that for these final seven calamities. The locusts, as terrible as those were 5 months. And we don't know for sure how long this sun has turned up and it's scorching people, but I guarantee you it's not eternity. It's not what Christians make it. And I tell you this, Christians are the people suffering under this judgment. If you're a Christian listening to me and you're holding to the false teachings that are just poured on you like a bowl without distinction, without a consideration of translation, of God's character, of context, of who is God writing to here, what word did he say? Did he say hell, or did he say Gehenna? Did he say Hades? Did he say Tartarus? You're accepting this. You don't believe in the true God. I tell you, soberly consider this, that the heat you are bringing is a false heat. It's a false burning. It's a false fire. And it's not turning people to God, is it? It's not, what is it doing? It's making people turn away from God. Now, the fire here is brief. It's a brief interval, and people are out. Yeah, they're yelling. They're beside themselves. They're in anguish. They're calling out to God. But God is going to use this later to help these people understand that they were not serving him. And this is what it takes. I'm sorry. Remember, I told you that it takes this for some people to see God. This is what it's going to take to break down Christians. It's going to take this. They're going to get a taste of their own medicine. They are. They're going to get a taste of their own medicine when God brings this fire. Oh, you believed in eternal torment your whole life. You taught people that God was an evil God. Really? A God who could torment his children for eternity. And now these Christians are suffering here. The Christians are still on earth, folks. The Christians are not being snatched away. They're not in the body of Christ. They don't believe Jesus saved them. They believe they saved themselves by believing in him. They're getting a taste of their own medicine. And it's like, here's the eternal fire. And they're going to get it for maybe 10 minutes or 10 hours or 10 days. We don't know how long the sun is amped up to scorch people in the fourth bowl from the fourth messenger. We don't know how long it is. But it's going to be long enough for the Christians to realize, oh, okay, oh my God. They're going to realize that this is unendurable, unbearable. But they're going to be able to endure it because it's only going to be 10 minutes or 10 days. But then it's going to dawn on them, and they're going to, you know, yes, people will be blaspheming God. People, yes, they're going to repent. Later, they're not going to repent here, but they're going to repent later. It's an object lesson for these people. And they might die from these afflictions. But everyone who is dying, remember this, in this conflagration, in this entire judgment period, will rise again at the great white throne. Like I told you on Friday, they're going to rise again. And then God is going to bring these things to their remembrance. Remember that fire? Remember when the sun got really crazy? It scorched you and you cursed me? You remember that? And they're going to say, yeah. Well, that's what you did to all humanity with your doctrine of eternal torment. People blaspheme God because of you. Paul said this in Romans 2. Because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. He said that to the Jews. I contend to you this morning that God is going to say that to the Christians, the members of the false religion called Christianity. God is going to say this to those Christians at the great white throne. Because obviously they're not repenting in this verse. They're not repenting. They're just upset. For one thing, they probably realize, oh crap, the snatching away already happened. We're in a false system. It's going to start dawning on them. Then they're going to be mad. Remember, the love of many will grow cold. Then they're going to be mad at God. But it's all because they're going to be mad at God. How could you have deceived us? And, you know, they got a point. They got a point. 2 Thessalonians 1, is it? God will bring on them a vast deception so that they may believe the lie. Those who did not love the truth. And these people don't love the truth. Christians today do not love the truth. How do I know? Easy. I bring them the truth and they hate me for it. I bring them the truth and they withstand me. I bring them the truth and they defend the lie. So I believe that this fourth affliction is Christianity getting a dose of its own medicine. It's not converting them to the truth here, but it will later at the great white throne after the 1,000 years are over. No, they're not going to be there. They will be enlightened. They will see. They will remember the affliction of the sun, and God will bring to their remembrance when they brought a similar affliction to humanity with their teachings. And it is then at the great white throne that they will repent. They will be sorry. They will weep tears, gnashing of teeth, that they lived their entire lives dedicated to a false doctrine. I feel sorry for people who teach eternal torment. I feel sorry for them because they're going to get the torment that they're trying to push onto humanity and attribute it to God. Well, here in the Unveiling 16, you can attribute it to God. But contrary to the tenets of eternal torment, this is purposeful. This is a limited affliction for days, not for eternity. And it eventually brings people to an understanding of where they've been, what they've done, of the true nature of God, and that God disciplines the world, and that He uses these things to eventually bring all of humanity and the entire universe to Himself.